You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
O or noodles, you can pick, buddy.
I'm in for both.
You got
and there's
that's
no,
a lot.
There's no reason to be apologizing here. I mean, this is like going to the bullpen and you've got Aroldis Chapman and
I like
Dellin Betances.
I like that.
You know, in Britain and anybody else they've got with
a star-studded bullpen. Well,
nothing
that makes
wrong
a lot
with
of
being
money.
That.
Okay,
I love. Frankly, I love this show.
When Overdrive.
I love listening to it. I love being in my car when it's on, and so I think it's a great privilege to be here when they're not today or any other time, frankly, and. And let's have some fun.
And what a great time to be on the show, too, given what's happened. Like how many years have you now been on the Toronto beat since you came from Calgary?
31 years since I came to the Toronto Sun.
And does this fall kind of compare to any other fall that you can think of, especially when you're, you know, the bulk of your time is on the Leafs and the Raptors at this time of the year? Like, is there one that rivals this?
Well, you go back to 92 and 93 when the Blue Jays are winning World Series.
Yeah.
And in 90. Three, the Leafs, I think, started 10-0. And so that was a pretty rocking time for the city. And it was so exciting because it was the first time, I mean, the only time, mm-hmm. that the Jays have played for a World Series or won them. And so it was a fabulous time. Then the world was so different.
Yeah.
The business was so different. There was just the beginning of sports radio at the time, and there wasn't two sports networks, and there wasn't all the internet stuff, and there wasn't Twitter, and there wasn't social media. Just a very different world. But I'll say this about the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I've gone through it year by year by year in the 31 years that I've been here and in my life, because I'm one of the fortunate people that was allowed to stay up in 1967 when... For George Armstrong's empty net goal, my dad's trying to get me to go to bed, and I'm fighting with him to stay up. And even that year, no one thought the Leafs were very good.
No, that was the big upset, right?
They beat the Chicago Blackhawks in the first round. That's the Blackhawks with Bobby Hall and Makita and Glenn Hall and Pierre Palat. You know, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer. Not that the Leafs weren't full of them either, but they were, at that time, Makita was just about the best player in the NHL, and you know, Hall might have been the best goalie, and Palat was probably the best defenseman, and that was a great Chicago team. So the Leafs weren't expected to win. And they're not necessarily expected to win this year, but they're in the conversation.
Yeah.
And they're in the conversation for the first time, really, at any time. When they went to the seven games with the LA Kings in 93, they weren't even supposed to make the playoffs that year. They were coming, it was Pat Burns' first season, and they had a horrible season the year before. When they went to the semifinals the two times with Pat Quinn, first year they weren't expected to make the playoffs. So there's never been a year where you start and say, this is a contender. And this is a real contender. Now, will they win? Who knows? I think there's about eight teams that can win.
The Maple Leafs would just like you say, being in that conversation in the NHL in this day and age is kind of all you can ask for because of the parity. And they're trying to do something that the Washington Capitals did last year. And I bring them up because our first guest of the show who will join us in a couple minutes is Barry Trotz, who's now, of course, the head coach of the New York Islanders, sans John Tavares, who's now with the Maple Leafs. But we'll chat with him and get to the, you know, an update on what his summer was like and what it's like now with Lou Lamoriello with the Islanders. But the Leafs' perfect preseason record's out the window. I know it's going to crush everyone.
Did you watch any of that last night?
I a little bit, yeah.
It was... I can remember seeing bad hockey before. I don't think I've ever seen worse. It was horrendous.
Well,
I mean,
it was an AHL game.
It was the Orlando Solar Bears versus the Orlando Solar Bears, it kind of looked like to me. And it was just full of, like, sometimes when hockey's full of mistakes, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
This was hockey full of mistakes that wasn't fun.
Well, and Mike Babcock wasn't too thrilled with the performance. And I wondered, because it was an opportunity, like, you're watching mostly AHL players, and there's a few guys there that could crack the lineup, like Kasperi Kapanen, and he scores a goal, and to my eyes, from what I saw, looked better. And Mike Babcock afterwards said, no one impressed me. No one was good. And you just wonder the bar that he's setting, but also just the defensive responsibilities that he wants Kapanen to have.
Well, I looked at the whole roster last night because there's guys I'm interested in depending on where they might fit in or where they possibly could fit in. And I thought at the end of the game, I could take my pen and start scratching guy. Cut, 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 cut. Like it was easy to cut last night. and guys who you were hoping would be better or more ready or more prepared, whatever, however you want to call it. That Justin Hole, for example, played two games for the Leafs last year. I thought he was really good in the AHL playoffs last year for the Marlies, and last night was a train wreck for him.
It's all those tough decisions you have to make to become a Stanley Cup champion, and it's always great to introduce a Stanley Cup champion, which we're doing right now, the head coach of now the New York Islanders, Barry Trotz. I'm going to assume that being introduced as a Stanley Cup champion never gets old, right, Barry?
It doesn't. It's actually a nice intro. I appreciate it. Thank you.
So how close did your summer resemble that of, I don't know, your former star Alex Ovechkin?
I would probably say I'm not in his league. but he's, I think that's probably a little bit overblown. We only see the good stuff. But it was a short summer for sure. And a lot of activity, everything with that goes with playing real deep into the spring, and then some family things that happen. My daughter got married, and you have a cup date, and you change jobs and all that. It got compressed pretty well.
Wow. Congrats all around.
So you had the extra money then to pay for the wedding. That's pretty cool.
that doesn't hurt.
So let's go back to just after the Cup is won, and this is a great moment in Washington sports history and a great moment for the Washington Capitals franchise that had been through so much frustration over the years, and then it doesn't work out with you and the team. How disappointing was that for you?
Well, I wouldn't say it didn't work out. It was just from my standpoint, it was something that I was pretty firm on. Everything's fine. It just it didn't bother anyone that I knew that that probably was where I was headed in terms of at the end of the year. So it is fine.
And with your accomplishments and your resume, you had no problem finding work, and you ended up choosing the New York Islanders, and you signed with them 9 days before July 1st. When you signed with New York, what percentage did you think you were joining a team with John Tavares?
I don't know. I don't know if I could put a percentage. It didn't matter one way or the other with John. I knew that he was going to make a decision. If he was there and the decision was that he was coming back to the island, then I'd be obviously I'd be happy with that. And if he didn't, I was fine the other way, or I wouldn't have took the job.
So you're in a new place. There's probably not a lot of Kuznetsovs around there or Ovechkins around there. A new place, a new team, a new home, a new practice rink, a new building, and another building. What has it felt like so far?
Well, it's actually been quite good in a sense that everything that is here is first class. Everything that is being built is first class. The direction of the team is being put together is first class. So it's actually invigorating. You get a chance to be a part of maybe changing some culture, which we need to do, and be a part of something. There's some good young kids here. There's a young man named Barzal, who I think people will know very shortly if they don't know already. There's some on Anders Lee. There's some really good people. We've got some good prospects, and I think from our standpoint, we've really got a good team. We've got some work to do. There's no question. I don't think people are counting too highly on us. I think that this group, this management group, the players, the coaching staff, we know what we're capable of, I think. We just got to go out and do it.
Matthew Barzal, who's coming off such a great year and also in the mix there when it comes to the top 50 players that was voted on by TSN analysts. We're joined by Stanley Cup champion Barry Trotz, now the head coach of the New York Islanders. You've gone on the record to say that Lou Lamoriello was a big reason why you chose the Islanders. I've also noticed that you no longer have a goatee or a beard. Are the two a coincidence, or is there some sort of correlation there?
No, there's absolutely 100% a correlation out of respect of what Lou would like to see the organization be about. But I think that's, you want facial hair off, let's get it off. It's only hair. I think it sets a standard within our room. If you're going to set a standard, the coaching staff and the players have to have the same standard. So I'm fine with that.
So Barry, you've been through two really completely different kind of situations to start. You're in Nashville when they begin as a pure expansion team, and then in Washington with a contending team right from the beginning. Where you're starting now compared to those two situations?
Well, I think where we're starting now is probably maybe somewhere in between both of them. I think, obviously, when I got to in Nashville, that was pure expansion. That was the hard road. That was the day-to-day try to survive type of mode. And I think you built, obviously, Nashville. I was there for 17 years. That's become a home for me. I got lots of friends, but it took a long time for that franchise to take hold, and now you see it has and what kind of franchise it is. Great people there, and they've got a really good team. When I went to Washington, there were some good pieces. When you talk about Backstrom and Ovechkin, there, Mike Green was there at the time. Braden Holtby wasn't the Braden Holtby you know now. Kuznetsov wasn't the Kuznetsov that you know now. Burkowski wasn't the same player. We were a big team when I got there with a couple superstars. Our second line that year, people tend to forget my first year in Washington. Our second line was Joel Ward, Eric Fair, and Brooks Light. Now that was our second line, and then we had Kuznetsov, who I think came in the year before, wasn't playing regular, and Burkowski was a rookie. So we had lots of holes that people tend to forget. Troy Brower was probably the mainstay on the third line, slash second line, if you will. He moved up and down a little bit, but that was we had some pieces that we had to fill. Obviously, a big summer for Mac that summer. Really filled a couple of glaring holes on the fence with Brooks Orpik and Niskanen, and that gave us a fighting chance. I think what Mitch Korn did with Braden Holtby, getting him his game organized the way you saw, what it brought the best out of Braden Holtby. People tend to forget we were 10-11 after our first 21 games. Then we went through a stretch of 17-2-1. So I think the pieces here are probably. In some areas a little bit better, and in other areas maybe not quite there yet. But there's some good young people, just as in Washington, Burkowski and Kuznetsov and people like that were coming through the door. We've got some guys that are going to be coming through the door very shortly here, guys like Noah Dobson, Wallstrom, Kiefer Bellows had an excellent camp. You got people like Josh Hosang. So they're just right around the corner. They're going to come in here. And we've got some really good pieces. And obviously, I said like Anders Lee and Brock Nelson, Everly, Matthew Barzell, Beauvillier, and Bailey. I mean, those six guys are pretty decent players in the National Hockey League. And we filled in with character players and people who have won. There's a couple of cup rings up there. And there's a lot of character. So I think we're going to be a team that's going to be hard to play against. We're going to win our share of games. And if we get the goaltending that we think we can, then we'll be in it for a while.
So is playoffs a logical goal?
Well, that's got to be a goal right from the get-go. Our goal right now is to get better every day so that we can put ourselves in that position. If you don't get to the playoffs, you have no chance of ever winning a Stanley Cup.
Joined by Barry Trotz of the New York Islanders, you brought up goaltending. Obviously, you need that sort of combination, whether it's a 1 or a 1A and a 1B to get yourselves into the playoffs. And, you know, you make a big move as an organization to acquire Robin Lehner on multiple fronts. But this offseason, he showed a lot of courage, being very open with his struggle with mental illness and suffering from bipolar. As someone who has had a long coaching career, How would you describe the evolution of your role as a coach when you have players who are dealing with things off the ice and you're still trying to get the most out of them on the ice?
Well, I think everybody thinks that the athletes that play in the National Hockey League or any pro sport, they're machines. They're not. They're human beings. They have the same difficulties that me and you have, anybody in society. And I think what Robin has done, as I had players in the past who've gone through the substance abuse program, who've come out openly and shared their stories, that's a sign of strength. That's the first thing that you can heal, is the fact that you recognize that you need help. And Robin, I'm very proud of him for stepping out. I'm very proud of him for dealing with a very tough disease, if you will. And we're going to give him total support, because the player, if he feels good about himself, he has a chance to really be a good player. And that's just as anybody in the business world. If you have an employee who is dealing with stuff and keeping it to himself, you're not getting the best out of that employee. So we're going to do everything we can with to help Robin, not because he's an NHL player, but because he's a person in our organization. And that's number one, and that will stay that way till I'm done in this job, for sure.
Barry Trotz of the New York Islanders is joining us here on Overdrive.
Barry, a lot of us have been through struggles emotionally or with some form of mental illness. I have had my share of things myself. But bipolar, that's another level. That's a bigger challenge. Have you had to learn about what these things are, and have you had to read about this to understand the challenges involved?
Well, I'll be quite honest. I haven't had the time to read on it. I have asked questions on it. I cannot understand it at this moment fully the way I need to. That is a goal within the organization that obviously I've had good contact with the substance abuse program, so I know the people there. So they'll be very helpful in that area. Robin's been very open. All those things are key to anything. Mitch Korn and our goaltending department, Mitch Korn and Piro, both are very, probably more versed in it than I am. And therefore, they are continuing to learn about it and supporting Robin in all those areas. So the goaltending department is probably up on that a little bit more than the head coach right now. And that's something the head coach has got to catch up to, as we've had to deal with a lot of things this summer and through training camp.
Well, I think you said it perfectly, that he showed a lot of strength by coming out and being so public with that. And, you know, as a team, you want to go into the regular season on, you know, looking strong. And you're actually going to wrap up the preseason in Oshawa against the Sabres on Friday at the Tribute Community Center. It must be pretty cool to go back to a junior rink and play, you know, an NHL game. I know it's preseason, but still, it kind of gives you the flashbacks of all those days playing junior and coaching junior.
Yeah, it does. You know, we've got a number of players from the OHL. It's a fantastic league, and that area's produced a huge amount of players. Obviously, guys like Sezikis and Bailey and Matt Martin and Adam Pelich, all from the OHL. And we got an Oshawa General and Cal Clutterbuck who will be in the lineup. So all that being said, it will be fun. It will be our last preseason game as an organization. So that one, though, you know, that'll be a special one where you sort of, you know, close up the preseason. I always love going back to, let's say, the smaller communities versus, you know, the NHL rink sometimes. I think there is an innocence to that, and the people appreciate it. So we're gonna bring a real good team. We're going to bring probably our complete team to Oshawa, and hopefully we'll have a real good match against the Sabres, who are much improved Sabres with all the things they did this summer and getting the first overall pick.
Which is a great trade for such a great hockey market in Oshawa. Barry, I know you're focused on this year, but once again, congratulations on winning the Stanley Cup last season, and best of luck with your new team, the New York Islanders.
Thank you.
Awesome stuff. Barry Trotz, the head coach of the New York Islanders.
And say hi to Lou for us.
Well, yeah, he misses us, I'm sure, right?
Yep.
Lula.
I still text him every once in a while. He writes back.
Oh, you get response.
Yep. Okay. Oh, yeah, I've always got.
Yeah. No, no.
Lou, okay. You know, the funny thing about Lou, everybody has this reputation that he is this monster that scares people.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get to know him, and I've known him a long time, once you get to know him and you build any kind of a relationship, what you realize is, I mean, he does have his ways of doing things by running a hockey team and stuff, but he's a real genuine man. And he's a guy who likes to communicate with people and get to know them. And I've had probably a 25-year relationship of sorts with him. And
well, just look at the acquisition of Robin Leonard. You know, someone who is portrayed as this black and white, get me results, or you're out the door. And they're taking a chance on somebody. But, you know, he showed, I don't know if humility is the right word, but he showed maybe a side of himself that, you know, you have seen, but maybe the fan hasn't seen. And he gets portrayed as something differently than he actually is.
Lou Lamoriello was getting to the end of Marty Brodeur, and he needed to get a goalie. And he went out and got Corey Schneider from the Vancouver Canucks and gave up the draft pick that turned out to be Horvat. And that turned out to be a real nice deal for New Jersey. And then he comes to Toronto, and they don't have a goalie. And he goes out after the Kessel trade is made, and he takes that first pick, and he sends it off to Anaheim for Frederick Anderson with other stuff. And that turned... Where are the Leafs now if they don't have Freddie Anderson?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Now, he goes to Long Island, and he's got to get a goalie. And he gets a guy who's had some trouble and trouble in his life. But there's one common thing between Corey Schneider and Freddie Anderson and Robin Lehner. Big goalies.
Yeah.
Marty Brodeur, big. He likes 6'3" and up goaltenders. Now, what does he have in Washington right now? He's got Mitch Korn, who's 1A, 1B, 1C, the best goalie coach in the game. And he's got Piero Greco, who was in Toronto, working with a lot of kids at the GTHL for years, but most recently with the Marlies and Garrett Sparks. And they loved Piero Greco here, and they were sorry to lose him. And so they've got very, very good goaltending coaches with a goalie who has some ability and certainly great size. If they can find a way to get him... Remember, Buffalo gave up a first-round pick for him.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a big deal.
So if you can get him back and hopefully get his meds, because the most important thing my experience with bipolar relatives is they have to be on their meds.
Yep.
And they have to be consistent
I've
with
seen
them.
As well.
And if they go off them, there's difficulty.
It'd be interesting to see how the Islanders go into this next phase. New coach, obviously. Their superstar, John Tavares, is now in Toronto. So we'll just take a quick break here. We got a jam-packed show. The boys are at the Hockey Hall of Fame for Upfront and Unfiltered, but they left behind a lot of big guests. Scott Van Pelt of ESPN. Shaquem Griffin of the Seattle Seahawks, one of the great stories in the NFL, will join us at 5:30. And Rick Five, who's part of Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer, that I know you, Steve, are a part of as well. Overdrive, Mark Rowe in for Brian Hayes, Steve Simmons in for the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, and Jamie Noodles McLennan. And you are willing to take that on.
I'm playing goal and forward.
Wow.
And not coming back. I'm hanging with everybody today. Okay,
all right. You were hanging with the Raptors yesterday.
Yep.
Kawhi Leonard.
We're tight now.
Many words.
Me and Kawhi. We're hanging. We're buddies.
And Masai had a few words.
You know what? Masai should run for mayor. That was a great sort of...
He could win this election.
I think you could win this election. I mean, no disrespect, but... when Masai has passion, he's so much fun.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter that you can poke holes sometimes in the things he says, but when he comes out and gives these, you know, what are you apologizing for, and stop it, and put that narrative aside, and, you know, never mind the 100 years of history that came before. We're going to ignore all that. But he does believe, and he does push for his team, and he pushes for the city. And you want to stand up and cheer when you hear him do that. So, God bless.
And that's what he was
God
doing.
God bless Masai.
Scott Van Pelt from ESPN is going to join us at 5 o'clock to talk about the Raptors and Kawhi and also Tiger Woods. He talked to Tiger after winning the Tour Championship. Coming up, former captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Rick Vive. He's a part of the Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer. But first, time for a news shot, 1010 traffic update.
Problems now heading southbound on the 404 past Bloomington. A vehicle's gone into the ditch here. Heads up if you're heading through the area. In town, Dundas and Scarlet Road is closed for a gas leak on the go. St. Clair and Runnymede, we got a collision on the go here. In Stillville, Warden is closed. St. John's Side Road to Aurora Road for a crash investigation. And in Vaughan, Bathurst and Rutherford, we got a crash on the go here as well. From the News Talk 1010 Traffic Center, I'm Eleni Stamatatos.
I'm John Whaley, this TSN 1050 Sports Center update for Subaru. Right now is the perfect time to fall for a Subaru. Visit your local Ontario Subaru dealer for great rates from 0.5%. Former Blue Jay reliever Roberto Osuna had his assault charge dropped today. The current Astro closer signed a peace bond and must meet certain conditions for the next year. Aaron Sanchez had surgery on his right index finger and is expected to be ready for spring training. The Raptors are training in Vancouver, and Kawhi Leonard offered his first impressions of head coach Nick Nurse.
Well, he's open-minded, ready to adjust on the fly, just a brilliant mind, loves the game of basketball. I've got to talk to him more. It's just my first practice, but we're going to develop a good relationship.
Maple Leafs great Rick Vive joins Mark Rowe and Steve Simmons next on Overdrive on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
You know, you just have to watch last night's game to get you in the mood for regular season hockey. And we're getting close next week. It's the Maple Leafs against the Montreal Canadiens. And, you know, love this time of the year, but there's always one thing that has to happen before the regular season. And that's one of the great charity events in Toronto that I know you've gone to a lot. Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer. A lot of big stars. And Steve Simmons, I include you among the stars as well.
Oh, yes, I'm huge among the stars. You know what? I love going just to see who's there sometimes. It's like a who's who of the last 30 years of the NHL sometimes. And then you'll see people from other sports. I remember Bruni Sören's been there, the track star, a number of times. You'll see people from other games and other sports. And so it's kind of a mishmash. Damon Allen, I think I've seen out there. A mishmash of stars from a whole bunch of different areas. And the most important thing of all is it's raising money for Princess Margaret. And that's so important. And to hear some of the stories from some of the kids and some of the presentations. And Glenn Healy, for example, has been the MC at a couple of these in the past. And he has been marvelous with some of the people he's worked with.
It is the 2018 Scotiabank Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer. As Steve mentioned, it's in support of Princess Margaret. It is this Saturday at Woodbine Racetrack. If you know someone that's participating in the tournament, show your support today. Visit teamuptoconquercancer.ca and look for the green button that says donate. Someone that has donated their time to this event, Rick Vive, former captain, Maple Leaf great, join us now on Overdrive. How are you, Rick?
I'm excellent. How are you guys doing today?
Well, we're excited. We're obviously excited for the regular season and this Leafs team to play games. But as I mentioned, before the regular season, you have to have this event, which, as Steve outlined, one of the great events that the city has when it comes to, you know, charity initiatives and something that, you know, you've devoted a lot of your time to.
Well, I think it just comes natural. We're all affected by this terrible disease in one way or another. I know I lost my mother about 10 years ago to cancer, and it's a terrible disease. And, you know, will they find a cure in my lifetime? I don't know. But certainly if I can give my time to an event like this where they've raised over $18 million already for cancer research, that's the only way we're going to find a cure. So take one day out of your summer, or, well, it's almost fall, I guess, or it is fall, but to do this, it just makes perfect sense because we got to find a cure for this terrible disease.
I've lost both of my parents to cancer, so I can understand what you and many others have been through under those circumstances. One of the things I love about this event, Rick, and I don't know how many times you've been out there, but is the way they set it up. There's a bunch of the parking lot at Woodbine, the racetrack, and it's fenced in ball hockey courts. And you play, I think, a half an hour game, and then the whistle blows and the game's over, and either you go on to another game or you take a break and go get some food or drinks, and there's free drinks and there's free food and there's all kinds of celebrities about. Are you playing Saturday? Is that the plan?
I'm not quite sure yet. I'm not really, the body doesn't react as well as it used to. So ball hockey is a little bit harder, actually, than ice hockey, to be honest with you. But because you actually have to run and, and move your body around. You can't glide. But I'm going to be there all Saturday morning and doing some meet and greets with some of the top fundraising teams and being there for the opening ceremonies, all that kind of stuff. It's good. They do a fantastic job. I played a few years ago, and I came home with sore shins and sore. I was sore everywhere, but it's a wonderful day. And you're right. There's a lot of ex-hockey players that come to this and give their time. Most of them are there from like 10 or 11 in the morning till 4 or 5 in the afternoon. So it's a great day, and the courts are pretty small, though, so you don't really have a whole lot of time to get a shot away.
So I'm wondering, 350 goal, was it 350 goal seasons in a row?
Yeah, yeah.
How is the shot?
Yeah.
Well, the shot's still good. I just need to get from point A to point B, and that's not quite as easy anymore. But if I can get open and get into the offensive zone and get an opportunity, there's a pretty good chance it's going to go in, especially with these new sticks. But the legs aren't quite what they used to be.
You just need a trigger man. And you know, I bring that up because today TSN unveiled their top 50 players. And we're joined by Rick Vive, someone that found the back of the net a ton throughout his career. But Connor McDavid not only finds back of the net with his shot, but also sets up guys a lot as the Art Ross Trophy winner last year. He's number one for the second straight year, beating out Sidney Crosby. As someone who can watch the game differently than we can, do you agree with that?
You know what? It's hard to say. I mean, I would personally put Sid ahead of McDavid only because of what he's done over a longer period of time. Stanley Cups, MVPs, scoring champions, that sort of thing. But I think if you look right now, I mean, if you say, well, who's the best player right now? Yes, I think Connor McDavid's a better player. But over time, will he be able to put up the numbers that Sidney will do over his entire career? And the answer is probably yes, but we don't know that yet. And Sidney Crosby's a great player. He's a great 200-foot player. He's good in his own zone. He reads the play extremely well, as Connor does as well. So they're two generational players that are just outstanding.
You played a long time. You coached a long time. Have you ever seen anyone faster than Connor McDavid?
Not to my knowledge, not that I can recall. Certainly not when I played, but when I coached, there was a few guys that were pretty quick. But I'm not sure I've ever seen anybody, especially those first two or three strides that gets him away from people and into the clear. It's outstanding. I mean, it's fun to watch, actually. It's amazing that he's able to do that. And I watch a ton of hockey. I mean, I watch a lot of times two games every night when I'm home anyway, and get to a lot of the Leaf games, and I've never seen anybody as fast as this guy.
One good thing, because you watch a lot of Leaf games as a proud alumnus of the team, is the fact that there's three Leafs in the top 50. No surprise, Austin Matthews is on the list at number 8, John Tavares at number 16. And you have the distinction of knowing what it's like to be a young star on a team and also that veteran. How does the acquisition of Tavares help Austin Matthews get to that next level?
I think it's big. I think it's real big. It's going to be really good for all those young players, for Marner, for Nylander, once he signs a contract, hopefully before the season or shortly thereafter with Matthews. They're going to learn what a real pro and what it took for John Tavares to be one of the best players in the National Hockey League. And I saw it when he was young because he played with my son with the Marlies for 3 years. So I got to see it up close even when he was a teenager. And then afterwards as well, this guy never stops working. And everybody said he couldn't skate. He was a bad skater. What did he do? As soon as he got to junior, he spent every summer working on his skating and became a great skater. I didn't think he was that bad of a skater before that. But he made himself better, and he works on his craft every single day of every year and makes himself better. And I think they're going to learn a lot from Johnny, from watching him and what he does.
You brought up William Nylander. I know that the business of the game is different today than it was during your career, but are you disappointed that William Nylander is holding out for a contract at this stage of his career?
Yes and no. I don't blame him. You know, they all want to capitalize on the amount of dollars that they can make. It's most careers are not that long, and you want to certainly make the most of it that you can. But at the same time, it's kind of like when you look at comparables around the league, there's guys that have already signed and probably are making a lot less than probably what he's looking for. But I'm sure that everything will get worked out, whether it'll be a long-term deal or perhaps a bridge deal. But he's a great player. He's one that I'm sure they'd love to have when the regular season starts. But if he's not there, they still have a lot of very good hockey players on that hockey team that can carry this team. He will be missed. There's no question about that. You can't just throw a talent like that out of the lineup and expect that it's not going to hurt you a little bit. But hopefully they get something worked out, and cooler heads prevail. And you know, William says, "Well, I'll take a bridge deal, or I'll have to take a little bit less. You know, $4 or $5 million a year is not all that bad for 6, 7, or 8 years, is it?"
This is where we can get you to be real honest now, Rick. What's the most money you made in a season?
The most I ever made in a season was half of what the minimum salary is now in the National Hockey League.
So that's what, 270-ish thousand?
Yeah, a little bit more than that, 300.
Okay. Well,
and that was my last contract. So the thing that disappoints me about today a little bit is the contracts that are being handed out for potential rather than what you've done already. Mm-hmm. And kind of in the old days when I played and before I played, it's what you did. And it's like, what have you done for me lately? And then we're going to pay you accordingly. And, well, Harold never paid anybody accordingly, unfortunately. but
I always loved the Roger Neilson story when he signed us to coach the Leafs. And Harold said to Roger, "Now, Roger, don't tell anybody what you make." And Roger looks at him and says, "Don't worry, Harold. I'm as embarrassed about it as you are."
Oh, yeah. It's a funny thing, but it was the truth. And, you know, I think most of the guys on our team were well underpaid. I think compared to the better players in the league that did the same things that we did. And but that's okay. I still made good money. Made more than the normal individual. My last 2 years, I probably made more than my father made his whole life, and I can't complain about that. I just spent most of it. That's all.
Well, hey, it's always great to hear what your great playing career got you in the bank account, whether it's there or not still. And you may be playing this weekend. It's always great to talk about the road hockey to conquer cancer. Rick, really appreciate you joining us here on Overdrive, and best of luck this weekend.
Well, thanks a lot, guys, and it's great to be on. And go Leafs. Let's win a cup in the next couple of years or so, and enjoy it.
Well, people might have laughed about that 5 or 6 years ago. They're not now.
No.
Awesome stuff. Rick Vive, former Leafs captain, Leaf greats, someone who knows how to find the back of the net, and whether or not he does that this weekend, we'll see.
You know the old thing that Vive used to do? He'd 2-3 steps over the blue line, fire the slap shot, top corner. In today's world,
you don't see that.
The goalies today stop that stuff, unfortunately. You know.
But he just needs to find his own little area code, like Ovechkin does, and just tee him up all day on the weekend. Yeah. He doesn't have to move.
I'll bet you it still goes top shot.
Oh, yeah. I like what he says. Still got the shot. That, you don't lose that, I guess. Just the knees and the other limbs and other joints. So Rick Vive will be part of Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer. Steve Simmons will also be there. Coming up, Scott Van Pelt from ESPN will talk about Tiger Woods and winning the Tour Championship, and also Kawhi Leonard in Toronto. Shaquem Griffin joins us at 5:30 with his father, Terry. They're part of this great initiative with Gillette, telling his incredible story, this long journey to get to the NFL, and also Bob McKenzie in the 6 o'clock hour.